In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and made ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, the things we have done and the things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together in Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God of life, you reach out to us amid our fears with the wounded hands of your risen Son. By your Spirit's breath, revive our faith in your mercy and strengthen us to be the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. A reading from Acts. When they had brought the apostles, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation.
Shouts of rejoicing and salvation echo in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly.
The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly. The Lord indeed punished me sorely, but did not hand me over to death.
Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. Here the righteous may enter.
I give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Hosanna, O Lord, save us. We pray to you, Lord, prosper our days.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. You are my God, and I will thank you. You are my God, and I will exalt you.
Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's mercy endures forever.
A reading from Revelation. John to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them, although the doors were shut. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. Seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The book of Revelation is like a movie that we would see play out on a big screen, of cosmic proportions. It speaks of the struggle of good and evil, and yet evil seemingly too large to overcome at times. And when we look at some of the movies in our own culture, movies from the Marvel universe or multiverse come to mind, where there is more depth than just good and evil. We see the complexity in that universe, in that multiverse, and there's even some uncertainty that even with progress, the progress of good, the progress of even innovation and technology, there's some doubt to just how far that progress can take us. Yet at the same time, you can walk away from those movies, from those stories, with still a sense of hope. In Revelation, the book opens with these words, "The revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, the Bible contains many different types of genres of literature. And when it comes to Revelation, it would be categorized as apocalyptic literature, which I'm sure that word itself sounds very intriguing and exciting. And it is. But this book has also caused much speculation in both the church and society. Yet, the word apocalypse means revelation. It has been used and abused as a book in which people expect to find predictions, and in doing so, miss the message that this book offers us in the present. Revelation does address some serious questions, but regarding how we as Christians are to live in a society that at times can be hostile. Our second lesson from Revelation today may come across as anticlimactic, because it's really nothing more than just an introduction, yet at the same time, there is much more being said here. There is much more being revealed to us here. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead, another way to pointing to his resurrection as ruler of the kings of the earth. Really, right off the bat, we should have a sense that God has got this, right? What is there to essentially fear? When in the end we belong to God, and that even death cannot separate us from our Lord, we should be filled with a sense of hope and confidence. The sovereignty of our Lord is emphasized in the phrase, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." Our Lord is not just the beginning and the end, but the Lord of everything that is in between. At the beginning of Revelation, this revelation of Jesus Christ, the one who's been raised from the dead, who is ruler of the universe, the one who loves us, who's freed us from our sins, made us into a kingdom, as we heard, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Freed us from our sins. It's in the past tense. Made us to be a community, a kingdom, past tense. Yet loves us, present tense. Again, this introduction, this revelation of who Jesus is to fill us with a sense of hope that we should not lose sight of. In our gospel lesson, we hear how the resurrected Christ appeared, was revealed to his disciples. When Jesus first appears to this group, locked inside because of fear, Jesus brings them peace. Jesus breathes on them the Holy Spirit, which I would argue that is bringing the community of disciples and each and every one of us into communion with the triune God. After the Holy Spirit is breathed on them, Jesus says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is essentially the Pentecost story in John's gospel. The Holy Spirit is breathed on the church, and they're given a mission. A mission to proclaim the mercy and forgiveness of the crucified and risen God. For when that is revealed to us, we're not supposed to keep it to ourselves. We're not supposed to be locked away, but to share this good news, to embody this commission and mission our Lord has given us. In receiving forgiveness from the blood of our Lord, as we hear in our lesson from Revelation, that freedom that we have in Christ's atoning sacrifice must be shared, as Jesus instructs us in John's gospel. Yet the irony that Revelation has caused people in our context is to share something else and not love, mercy, and forgiveness. It's not to be a people of hope, but to be locked away in fear. But in our lessons for today, all of that is the opposite of what we can see people do at times. The followers of Jesus Christ do not succumb to human authority. We get that in our first lesson. In Acts of the Apostles, they're going to keep embodying this message of hope and proclaiming it. There's assurance of that enduring love of Jesus Christ that we get in Revelation. And then we're entrusted with this ministry of forgiveness. The revelation that Thomas receives is that now he can be assured that he's devoting his life and worshiping and following the real thing, Jesus Christ crucified and risen. And this whole scene in John 20 should remind us as the church that revelation comes within the community of faith. Have you ever been in a Bible study, just in itself, where people sharing their insights or sharing aspects of how the Lord is intersected in their life brings revelation to what you are reading and encountering in the scriptures, because it's a living word and the Spirit speaks through the community of faith when we gather around the word. Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. Revelation takes place within community. Thomas is bold to ask for some confirmation here. And in the meantime, there's a week that goes by before Jesus comes back and appears to them. But notice what happens in this community. Thomas is not shamed by the other disciples. He's not shunned. He's not persecuted. He's not told to leave. Just because he didn't believe or see what they experienced, they live together in community. They live together in that struggle. What a witness that can be for the church. Within the confines of a community of faith, there are people that struggle. There are people that question. There are people that doubt. And that's part of the faith journey. And sometimes the institutional church has fallen short in mistaking the need to have boundaries for gatekeeping. Notice that even though Thomas was still hanging around them for that week, they didn't water down what they experienced to make Thomas more comfortable. They didn't deny it, what they saw. They just allowed him to continue to live with them in the community, to stick it out with them, and he was sticking out with them too, even though he didn't experience this revelation. In the revelation that you and I have experienced in Jesus Christ, can we embody a generous orthodoxy that gives people room to grow in their faith, to question, to doubt? Again, if we are confident that God has shown up and continues to show up in our lives and in the world, what is there to fear? Right? What do you have to be afraid of? We know Christ is here. We know Christ is risen. Certainly, our questions and at times can shake us, and that sense of doubt can cause struggle. But faith is trust. It's not always knowing. It's not always figuring it out. It's trusting that in the end, God has it figured out. Let people question. Walk alongside us. Because in the words and deeds of the church, Christ crucified and risen is revealed. Before they encounter Jesus here, the disciples feel hopeless. They're broken. They're disappointed. They're living in despair. Yet the crucified and risen Christ comes to heal those very wounds of theirs as he reveals himself to them. So as the body of Christ, let's not hide in locked rooms. Let us not embody a message of fear. But as Christ crucified revealed to us, let us go to the very places and spaces where there is hopelessness and despair in the world, that reveals to the world that God has and will always show up. And it requires us to have some patience, some generosity. Notice that Mary Magdalene is patient with those other disciples. After she encounters Christ at the tomb, she says, "I have seen the Lord." They don't acknowledge that right away either, right? And then they're revealed it. And Thomas doesn't. Faith is a journey. Faith is a process. Faith is a gift. In word and sacrament, Christ shows up. In the consolation that we experience in the church, the consolation that we have in the family of God, Christ shows up. In our fellowship and in our service to one another and to the community at large, Christ shows up. Because we're proclaiming, we're giving witness to the love of Christ and how we are freed by the forgiveness of our sins through the cross and brought together in this community of faith. And the Spirit continues to gather us together and to send us back out, embodying this message of hope. We encounter the living God in all that we do, in all that we say. And we boldly proclaim that revelation in word and deed, that we have seen the Lord and that Jesus is our Lord and our God. And with that revelation, we are no longer a people locked into fear, but a people of joy, sharing the love, peace, and forgiveness of Christ crucified and risen. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father,
God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one meeting with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven.
set free from captivity to sin and death, we pray to the God of resurrection for the church, people in need, and all of creation. Holy One, who acts righteously, equip your church as witnesses of your goodness to go and tell others of your abundant love, that they may believe that Jesus is our salvation and life. God, in your mercy, we pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, our Stevens ministry, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. God, in your mercy, renew your people's commitment to use resources responsibly and to live well with your creation. Invite us to recognize and nurture signs of resurrection life in the natural world. God, in your mercy, direct those who are given human authority to lead with humility and compassion. By your Holy Spirit, channel their attention towards serving those who are most in need. God, in your mercy, uphold your children who cry out to you. Wherever people are overcome by the fear of death, breathe into them your life and peace. Be with those who are ill, especially Tracy, Amber, Vincent, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Stan, Barb, Jasmine, Pete, Nadine, Cheryl, Barb, Lucas, Ruth, John, Barb, Leah, Carol, and our homebound. God, in your mercy, inspire those who lead your people in worship and praise. With joyful motion and sound, send us forth with praise that we cannot keep to ourselves. God, in your mercy, holy God, we pray for those in our armed services, especially Cade, Michael, and Luke, and their chaplains. God, in your mercy, give us the words of your saints who, like Thomas, boldly confessed your Son as Lord and God. With Jesus, our leader, empower us to live according to his ways. God, in your mercy,
in your mercy, O God, respond to these prayers and renew us by your life-giving Spirit, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. You may be seated. We continue with the offering.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy One, Mighty One, Merciful One, we give you thanks for you are the one who brings life out of death. In the beginning, when there was nothing, you spoke and the whole universe came into being. You quieted chaos and pierced the darkness with your life-giving light. When waves of wickedness threatened to drown your world, you sent the flood to destroy sin and save your good creation. When your people cried out to you from the depths of slavery in Egypt, you gave us a meal and set us free. When we were dry bones in a valley, you sent your life-giving spirit to raise us up and to put a new heart and spirit in us. And in these last days, you have given us, Jesus, your Son, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who willingly gave us his life on the cross to show us the fullness of your love, and who rose from the grave, destroying the power of death. And now you invite us to this feast of your victory over the grave. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Pour out your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of our Lord and of his resurrection, upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that we might receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your Holy Church, both now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever.
When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, broke it, and gave it to them.
And they were willing, and they were ready to
You may be seated. This time, I'd like to invite forward our communion assistants, anyone who is participating in Children's Church this morning. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. There'll be two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, that will be on the pulpit site only. There'll be an usher releasing you forward with trays of glass cups. Just receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. rise. You who have been filled with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, go tell the whole world of his love.
Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
Amen. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Strengthened in the sacraments, sent into the community to share the love of Jesus. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Thank you.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks.